Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN, John Landegger at 3:46, and welcoming Dr. Edward Schaefer, Chair of Urology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Oh, good afternoon to you, too. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So much better to talk to you than have you check my prostate.
But that's right. You don't want to meet me face to face.
But it's a serious topic, although, you know, I just laughed a little bit. It's Cancer Month. What is prostate cancer? Let's just begin with. Oh, by the way, you might know the doctor from Ben Stiller's prostate. They were on the Today Show in 2016. That's the first time I've ever referenced a show business person because of his prostate. At any rate, what is prostate cancer?
So maybe I should just introduce myself. I'm Edward Schaefer, and I'm the chair of the Department of Urology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, and thanks for having me. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and the prostate itself is a male sexual gland. It's involved in producing fluid that enables sperm to fertilize eggs. So that's its actual purpose. That's what it does. It's a very small gland. It sits just below the bladder in men. So women cannot get prostate cancer, but men can get prostate cancer. And it is the most common cancer diagnosed in men. So in 2020, there's projected to be about 190,000+ diagnoses of prostate cancer and about 33,000 deaths from prostate cancer. So a lot of men have prostate cancer. With early detection and good treatments, most men who have prostate cancer are able to survive it and be clear of disease. It still does, though, affect and impact a significant portion of men's lives. It's the second leading cause of cancer death in men. So it is serious stuff, and we joke around about how I don't want to see you in my clinic and so forth. But the good news is, for all the men listening and all the women who love women who are listening who have men that they love, we have a lot of great tools to pick up prostate cancers when they're early, when they're contained, and when they're curable. And with that, we can really prevent a lot of suffering from this disease.
Other than getting regular checkups, what are some of the... I mean, if you get a regular checkup, I go once every, 2 years, 3 years, something like that, to continue... Now, if someone's not doing that, or if it's between those doctor's appointments, what are the symptoms to an individual? You know, what are the symptoms?
It's a great question. So, and just for the audience, we like to do annual checkups. So once a year, just like you see your regular doctor, and your regular doctor can really be the point person for this for many men in the initial phases. And so when you see your doctor, and men should start seeing their doctor beginning at the age of between 40 and 50 to really establish a primary care doctor. And there they would take a history and they would talk to you about prostate cancer. And there are tools to screen for it. And the tools to screen for it are a blood test. It's called a PSA blood test and also an exam. Yep. Now, if for some reason you missed a series of exams or whatnot, what would be the symptoms? Well, symptoms of aggressive prostate cancers would be things like blood in the urine. Some men will have difficulty urinating, and then if it's really aggressive and spread, then people can present with just overall kind of low energy. Sometimes people will have pain in their bones or their legs or their arms, etc. Most of the time, the good news is, most of the time, we're able to pick it up with blood test results, and men don't have any symptoms. If you're developing symptoms from it, then it's can be a, sometimes be a more dire, more aggressive case. So we like to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe we have a question from John on the phone.
Sure.
John?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, hi. I had prostate cancer and a prostatectomy, and I've always wondered, and maybe things have changed, the protocols have changed, but I know I was, and a lot of men are averse to the digital rectal exam for that. And the PSA is what has governed my treatment. I guess I wonder why we can't, they don't start with PSAs because of the aversion to the other exam.
Yeah, it's a great question. So we check for a screen for prostate cancer with the PSA blood test and a rectal exam. You can feel the prostate from the rectum, so it's no fun for me and it's no fun for the patient, but it's important. Why is it important? Because about 20% of prostate cancers are picked up when a man has a normal PSA value, so their blood work looks fine, but there's something funny about their prostate in terms of how it feels on rectal exam. And oftentimes
the opposite.
So they felt it on exam and your blood work was normal?
Yeah, and it was fine, and then my PSA was 17, I think.
Yep. So you do both, because 80% of the time the blood work will pick it up, 20% of the time the blood work's normal, but there's something funny on the exam.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Can I run a few myths of...
Sure.
Let's see. It only affects older men.
That's not true, although prostate cancer is associated with aging. So the older you get, the higher your chance of being diagnosed with prostate cancer. My youngest patient's son was 34 years old. So it can affect men of all ages, going up starting in the fourth decade, so 40s and higher.
And that's when you should start your checkup regimen.
The screening, the discussion about whether or not screening is good for you should start between the age of 40 and 50. If you have a family history of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, those big three, then you should start your screening at age 40. If you don't have any family history of any cancers, then you can have a discussion about screening and start at age 50.
That brings me right into myth number two, prostate cancer not associated with other cancers.
Yeah, so that we used to think it stood alone and it was all by itself. But we now know that there are genes that many of your female listeners would know about, these genes that cause breast cancer called BRCA1 and BRCA2.
Yep.
Those genes do cause prostate cancer in men.
Prostate cancer is only hereditary.
No, it can be influenced by what you eat and how much you exercise. And so it's a combination of the genes that you got from your parents and also how you live your life.
Let's take another call. Good afternoon. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Afternoon.
You have a question?
I have a question. My question is about the frequency of sex. As I get older, I'm not saying that I have the drive necessarily to continue to have sex with my wife, but I wonder if that has some type of effect on the prostate if you actually have a demise or less feeling of wanting to have sex. Is that because I've heard about the frequency of it and not having enough of it has some type of effect on the prostate health?
Yeah, in general, I would say that a man's interest in being sexually active is dependent on the levels of testosterone in their blood. So sex drive in men comes from levels of testosterone in blood, and as a man ages, the levels in testosterone on average decline. So that may be why an average person would experience that. There are some studies that have shown that over an entire lifetime of a man, historically, the more frequently sexually active they are, the lower their chances of having prostate cancer. It's a minor thing, but I would say in an average situation, it is really that sex drive comes from testosterone levels, and testosterone levels decline as a man ages.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you, doctor.
Did you just say that an active sex life lowers the chances of getting prostate cancer?
Yes, it does.
Make a note. Everybody write that down. I guess I'll just go to this myth. Treatment causes impotence and ruins your sex life.
Well, treatments or management of prostate cancer come in many shapes and forms. And so, yes, one of the side effects that can occur with treatment for prostate cancer is having an impact on your sexual activity and your sexual function. That's because the prostate is part of the sexual organs. Mm. So in general, these days, meaning now in the 2020s and the 2010s, we do a much better job of really selecting treatment for patients only when they really need it. So there are many cancers now that we pick up that don't actually need any active treatment, and rather we treat with surgery or with radiation or with medications only prostate cancers that are aggressive and warrant treatment. So we can mitigate or decrease the number of cases that we have to treat. And the good news is that there are side effects associated with treatment, but those can be managed by specialists that we have at Northwestern, for example.
There's a thought going around, I've heard it before, that men are adverse to not just this, but almost any treatment for anything, and I don't know why.
Well, in general, men don't have great longitudinal health care. So what do I mean by that? Well, for example, women, when they go through puberty, they start seeing their GYN doctors, and they establish a pattern of seeing their doctors every year. And they get checked out for female cancers, and then they start getting their blood pressures and other things checked. And so it's kind of built into how they, quote-unquote, grow up, whereas that's not true for men. So when men, finish with their pediatrician, they rarely will go see a doctor until they're in their 40s or 50s or even older. So, yes, there's less good of a track record for young aging men to establish longitudinal care. Now, we have a very comprehensive men's health program that helps and aims to get younger men in to see their urologist, and from that, we can act as a conduit or pipeline to get those young patients in to see their, get to meet with and establish care with internists and heart doctors and endocrinologists and so forth. So it is a true point, and we're really pioneering some programs at Northwestern Memorial Hospital that can allow patients to establish longitudinal care with many doctors if they just want to come in and pop in and see their urologist.
Well, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. Extremely informative, and I hope people pick up on what you had to say. Thanks, Doctor.
Well, thank you for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. Dr. Edward Schaefer, Chair of Urology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. A couple of minutes, we'll enter the WGN newsroom.